What's going on, everybody? It's your boy Jamon Bolton here with another episode of the Jamon Bolton Show. Just here, I wanted to go over a few quick things from this past weekend. You know, definitely want to go over what we just saw with the NCAA tournament. See what the men's tournament, talk about that for a quick second. Talk about the women's tournament as well. It's something that's been bothering me about the women's tournament and just women's college basketball in general. And also want to get into this super fight that got canceled. But let's start with the NCAA tournament. I think overall it was a great tournament. I mean, Cinderella was here. You know, we got to see Loyola make it to the Final Four. Michigan kind of came back and did what Michigan does. Michigan advanced to the final, advanced to the national championship game, playing against Villanova. Villanova, let's just say Villanova was too good for them. You know, they won a second national championship in 3 years. It probably should have been three straight, but let me not get into that because I'm one of those guys, the what if guys. But you know, they lost focus last year and got eliminated early. But second championship in 3 years under Jay Wright. You know, they started off a little shaky. And the funny thing about it all is that, look, man, they were able to sustain this lead. They were able to sustain, like, just everything that they did. And their main player, college player of the year, Jalen Brunson, had a terrible, when I say terrible, I mean terrible game. I mean, he had 9 points, but, you know, that's what leaders do. You know, he's a guy that's national player of the year, and he wasn't himself, and he was able to sit there and still get the most out of him, you know, still able to get the most out of himself, the 9 points because of foul trouble and just bad shooting. And then, you know, you got Dante DiVincenzo. I'm sorry, I screwed his name up. He's got a difficult name, you know, DiVincenzo. Let me just be quiet about his name, but you get it. Dante, the redhead kid who caught fire. I mean, he made the most of his opportunity. I mean, the kid was amazing. 31 points off the bench, you know, kind of set a record for a bench player in the Final Four. Then he got the most outstanding player, so that was well-deserved. So that was unexpected, but, I mean, when you got a team that's as deep as Villanova, you can get hit from any angle. And I'm sure people who are watching were like, somebody else is going to step up. You know, Brunson didn't play well. They had a bunch of different players, you know. You had Pascal, you know, you had Spellman, you know, then you got DiVincenzo, who, you know, look, he made the most of his opportunity. So, you know, you look at them, you know, they didn't shoot well, but he kind of came in and he kind of just really lit them up. He lit Michigan up. And Michigan for a while looked like they were gonna hang tough. You know, Wagner looked great and we was looking at him. I was with a bunch of guys and we were watching the game and it was just like, oh, he looks good. And after that, it was just like Villanova just took over. And the way they do it, they just attack you, man. They're like so sneaky, but they're so good. You know, they hit the open shots. They do things and you look up, you're like, wow, they were just down and natter up. So it was a great game by them, you know. Fourth team since 85 to win 2 rings in 3 years. You know, the last couple of years, you know, Division I record, 136 wins in a four-year span. Eighth school to win 3+ national championships. Jay Wright has 2. Rolly Massimino won the championship in 85 when they beat Georgetown. 30-plus wins over the last 4 years. And, you know, now I think as a program, I think they need to be recognized as like as a blue blood program. You know, it's not that they don't get noticed. I just think that people are so quick to anoint North Carolina, Duke, and deservedly so. You know, the UCLA's, the Kansas. You know, those schools get kind of caught up in put in the front line before Villanova. But what Jay Wright has done the last couple of years has been nothing short of phenomenal. And if you lose Jalen Brunson, you got Javon Quarterly coming in. You know, he's McDonald's All-American, the Jelly of Jelly Fan fame. You know, he's a high school player from New Jersey. And kid is pretty good. He's really, really good. You know, I don't know if he'll be a one and done, but he can step in and really contribute right away. And so, you know, Jay Wright recruits well. You know, he has the program running in the right direction. You know, they're blue blood program, like I mentioned, and everything is going the way it should go. For me, the one thing about Jay Wright that I'm a little worried about is he going to be tempted to go to the NBA. You know, we had this problem with Calipari. Calipari took a UMass program that was nothing before he got there, made it into something, built it up. You know, he had guys like Marcus Camby to come there, Lou Rowe, those guys who could have gone to other schools and end up making Marcus Camby. He was more of a project than Lou Rowe, but he made Camby an All-American. You know, he got the most out of guys like Edgar Padillo, you know, Carmelo Trefiesso, those guys that played at UMass with him. And those guys were good. You know, I remember Trefiesso was called Trefiesso because he could shoot so well from the outside. But, you know, when you got a guy like Cal who utilized that and got those guys to the Final Four, he catapulted that into an NBA job. And it didn't quite work out for him. I always think, you know, college coaches are some of the luckiest guys in the world. Like Nick Saban, for example, let's switch gears really quick. He'd be a fool to go to another NBA team. Like, he's in the position where Bear Bryant was when he was, like, God. Bear Bryant was bigger than a governor in the state. Like, Bear Bryant was the man. It was nothing he could not do. Whatever Bear Bryant wanted, Bear Bryant got. You know, it wasn't popular amongst everybody else, but when Bear Bryant had to go ahead and recruit some African-Americans, that's what he went and did. He had to adjust to the times, you know? And, look, people may have been oh, they didn't like that. They want Alabama to stay remain all white. The hell with that. Bear Bryant did what was right for Bear Bryant, and guess what? He continued to win. He adjusted to the time, and that's exactly what he did. And I use Nick Saban as an example because it's like he gets paid great money. I think he gets paid $11 million a year. So it's like, what can an NFL team give you outside of stake and ownership and so forth? You know what I mean? So Jay Wright may be tempted. There may be teams that'll try, and I'm sure the rumors will probably start up. And look, starting with the Knicks, I mean, because Hornacek is pretty much a dead man walking. He's either gonna resign or he's gonna just get fired and say, "Hey, I'll deal with it." You know, it was a bad fit from the beginning, and I understand. I'm not gonna tell a man not to take a job. I mean, hell, you offer me $6-7 million or whatever they offered Hornacek, a couple $1 million to walk into a situation where I can't win, and I'm gonna get paid regardless. I take it. I'd be a fool not to take that offer up, you know. But I think Jay Wright has a great opportunity. You know, this can be his program. You know, Raleigh Massimino was great. He did what he did. But I think Villanova, when it's all said and done, if Jay Wright can stay put, Villanova can be Jay Wright's school, like Duke is Coach K's school and UNC's Dean Smith school. I think Villanova could become Jay Wright's school. Now, I'm not going to tell a man, don't go ahead and feed your family and don't go ahead and secure your future even more for another generation or two. But the administration at Villanova need to go ahead and take care of them so we can avoid all of that. You know, the NBA is a bit different. Obviously, the offseason's not, you're not so consumed in the offseason with recruiting and things like that. But this is what he knows. This is everything that he knows. So, again, I just think I'm worried about him being tempted, you know, with an offer or whatever the case may be. I just think he's done such a great job. I would love to see him do more. I think he can recruit with the best of them. He's a hell of a coach. He's so good. He's so good. Really, really, really good. Doesn't buckle under pressure. You know, he does things the right way. He runs his program the right way. And the kids all play for each other. You know, look at the culture. Look at what they're doing here. Like, these dudes want to play for one another. Like, you look on the sideline during the game, Jalen Brunson wasn't sitting there with his head down like, whoa, me, me, me. No, Jalen Brunson was like, no, yo, go ahead and get it. Let's make it happen. You know, he was excited. You know, these guys are brothers. They really preach that brotherhood and that unity, you know, and I like what I see with them. So, you know, Villanova is great. They got a chance to make another great run. There's no decisions on who's going to leave. We don't even know if Brunson's going to leave, you know, but if they can bring that whole team back, whew, man, they're going to be scary, you know, but definitely think it's time for them to start getting noticed amongst the upper echelon and the elite of college basketball. You know, they have a blue blood program. Like I said, they should be treated as such. They have a great core coming back. They've got a great coach. They do everything right from top to bottom. So, salute to the Villanova Wildcats, 2018 NCAA champions, second championship in 3 years. And I think the best is yet to come for this program. So, welcome back. So, I want to switch gears over to the NCAA tournament, the women's tournament, that is. You know, I, for one, cannot speak enough as far as what I saw this past weekend. The women's Final Four was stuff of legend. I mean, the games were classic, instant classics. And we got a chance to watch games that'll be talked about for a long time. Some very historical games, you know, the Louisville-Mississippi State game, a great game. The Notre Dame-UConn game is just an amazing game. I mean, Arioko, Marike Ogunbowale, she's just, God, that girl. I mean, ice water in her veins. If you want to say Mamba mentality, then hey, you can say Mamba mentality when you're referring to her, because that girl can ball, man. And she just kind of really showed. She really showed herself out this weekend, man. But I just think this women's tournament really, really, really gave us some historical games. And, you know, it's history. As long as I've been watching college basketball, women's college basketball, I think it started for me like in 95. I think the first UConn team that went undefeated. Like, I've always known about Tennessee's dominance, Louisiana Tech. When I was a little boy, I'd always see it on TV. But to watch it in person, to see Geno's first non-undefeated team, the 35-0-95 team, it was like, whoa, these girls can really, really ball. Rebecca Lobo's team, you know, they were really great. So I've always been intrigued ever since then. But looking at everything, you know, I'm looking at this tournament, you know, Connecticut went down again. And, you know, for a lot of people, like, I'm one of those sports fans. I want to see, look, if I can see a team win 5-6 in a row, then win it. You know, it was almost like UCLA winning all those championships back in the day. And winning, like Boston winning with, you know, as many as they won back in the day in the NBA. Like, I want to see a team win as much as they could win. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't mind it at all. But for me, I think, you know, UConn has just been so dominant. I think they've even surpassed Tennessee's dominance. Because Tennessee at that point was like, dang, do you ladies ever lose? But now it's just like Geno and his teams are like the evil empire. People are just tired of him, essentially, you know. And apparently, like, I saw something today talking about, oh, you know, their conference is really weak and they don't really, you know, they don't play anybody. And that's kind of what affects them come tournament time. Let me just say this. These girls are really good and matchups make styles. And I just think Muffin McGraw really matches up against him and his teams. They beat the defending national champion by 25 points. Who would have thought they were going to lose? You know, until Ugombwale decided she wants to hit Miracle, you know, make these shots and put the and put moves on people all weekend. We thought UConn was going to move on to another national championship. But it's good for the sport. You know, get this parity out there again, man. It's no parity. Like, nobody wants to watch them. You know they're going to win. I mean, it's how much fun is it to watch them win by 30 in a national championship game? I don't like it. I don't want to watch it. You know, so when they're in close games, I expect them to win these games. You know, it's nothing. There's nothing wrong with them losing. I think, you know, for the Dawn Staleys, you know, for the Coach Schaefer out in Mississippi State, you know, for Muffin McGraw, all these other late Tim Mulkey, or everybody else. I just think it's good for the sport. Everybody has a chance to win. And, you know, when they're winning and they're dominating like that, it's tough. You know, we wanna see everybody get a chance to win, but you can't knock Gino for doing what he does. Gino's a great coach, he's a great recruiter. But I mean, that's besides the point. They didn't win, but you know, it's just one of these things where it was a great tournament. Yeah, Mississippi State, my heart breaks for them. You know, they had the championship game in control, and it would have been great to see the program win their first national championship. You know, Vic Schaefer, he deserved it, but hey, he's a great coach, and I think what he's done for the program, building them up, getting them to where they're at, I think they'll eventually get there at some point in time. Right now, it just wasn't the year. Like, I stepped out for a second, and it was like, oh, they're now 15. They're going to win this game. They got it, and lo and behold, Notre Dame, that man's a great comeback. National championship game, you can't go out like that. Notre Dame deserves a lot of credit for the weekend. Again, Arike Ogunbowale, you know, she nailed the three from the corner to seal the game. And she got a Final Four to remember. Like, she beat UConn. Then you win a national championship on a buzzer beater. A tenth of a second left. It doesn't get any better than that. Only other way I would want to end the game is the way Chris Jenkins did against North Carolina when Villanova won a championship in 2016. That's like the perfect ending. It doesn't get better than that. You know, it's Final Four was one to remember. Her name is out there a lot more now. If you didn't know who she was before this weekend, you definitely know now. Put some respect on her name. Respect who she is. She's awesome. She's amazing. And I think that program, I mean, Muffet, you know, oh, man. It's just amazing. You know, Muffet McGraw, she's got her team. She you know, she deserved the national championship. Her second national championship. It's been a while since she won one. She won a national championship when I was still in high school. I remember that when they won. I remember watching them win it. And they were good then. They even better now. They're a well balanced team, and they played a great tournament. They contributed to a lot of that hoopla and the hype. But I want to reflect on something Sky Diggins said. She tweeted something, and it was saying it was something about the women's college game that I kind of agree, but I agree with wholeheartedly. It said mainstream media needs to talk more about our game. Three buzzer beaters in the Final Four. We need more. Show our girls more of this excellence. Give us the same platform and see what happens. Now, she's 100% correct. I think, for me, you know, just looking at it from the outside in, you got all these, the March Madness app for the men, you know, telling you to download this. The marketing campaign is through the roof for the men. I mean, you can't, I know ESPN's behind it, but I don't know, maybe ESPN can go back to the drawing board, and I'm no marketing executive. I don't know how to advertise anything. I'm not a marketing thing. I don't know any of it. But I do know they can get a bigger push. They can get a little bit more publicity. I don't know what they can do. I don't know if networks are scared to buy into it, but let me explain something to you. These games are some of the best games you'll ever see, and I really hate that some people won't watch the games because of stupid reasons. I think people need to get their heads out their behinds and respect it and watch these games, because there's some people out there, I can guarantee you, that did not watch the game. Why? Because, oh, nobody's going to dunk or do something exciting. Are you crazy? Did you see these girls balling this past weekend? These are some great, great ballers out there. I mean, I'm only mentioning one right now, Arike Ogunbowale, because I want her to get the props that she definitely deserves. But you mean to tell me you're gonna miss these games because you don't want to watch it because there's not enough excitement for you? People really kill me. It's unfortunate we still have some sexist people out there that don't want to watch a women's college basketball game because it's not exciting enough. Nobody's athletic enough. Nobody's going to really dunk or do anything crazy. Like, this is some of the best basketball. You can see that. I was sitting there talking with some gentlemen last weekend, and we said, from the Sweet 16 on, in the women's tournament, we all said in unison, it's like some of the best basketball you've ever seen. Some of the best basketball you've ever seen. And I think it's unfortunate what Skylar Diggins said is correct. They need to be put in a bigger platform. They need to have more time frames. They need to get marketed better. I just really think it can be a better job overall as far as how the game is promoted. It's a tournament. People come up. People show out. The arenas are sold out. But what about the people that watch on TV? Why not promote them just as much? Why is there no apps to watch it? You know, I know we got the ESPN app, but is there something else we can do? Is this not we, because I'm not a part of that world, but is there something else they can do? The marketing people, the people at ESPN, is there anything they can do to market the games more? And I find that to be a little crazy. The games aren't the same day. You know, why not get CBS behind? Why not get TBS? You know, why not get TBS, Turner? Why not get Turner? All these guys, why not get behind it? And won't they buy the rights from ESPN? Because it seems like something is missing. You know, why? Why not? Why do we not know more? The casual fan doesn't know what's going on. The casual fan isn't paying attention, you know, to the women's tournament. But guys like myself who watch basketball and love the game, we want to see it all. And sometimes, you know, a game will slip through the cracks. You're like, yo, I didn't even know they were playing. It was such a great game. It was a triple overtime game, a double overtime game. And around the 32. And sometimes you miss these games because it's not promoted as much. Oh, the women's tournament exclusively on ESPN. Well, we know that, but what's up with the time frame? So I agree with Scott Diggins wholeheartedly. The game needs to be put more on a bigger platform. I think if they were promoted the same way the men's tournament is promoted, man, there's no telling how big this would have been. You know, they could probably fill up, and they could fill up a stadium. I'm almost positive they could fill up a stadium. I believe that Mississippi State Notre Dame game, they could have filled up a stadium. I'm almost positive. You market it right, you get that momentum behind, I guarantee you it would fill up a stadium. They just don't have the opportunity. They fill up a regular arena, but put them in a football stadium. We can see what they can do. I'm almost positive they can do it. But again, the women's game needs to be put on a platform a little bit more. Have these young ladies as stars. These young ladies are superstars, I should say. They'll be playing for years to come. We'll know their names. We need to get the props out now. We need to know about them. We need to give them the proper respect and the proper coverage. And I think once that happens, we'll see a big difference in things. But she's totally, totally right. And they need to get behind. They need to get with it. We'll be back after a quick commercial break. Welcome back, everybody. Let's switch gears a little bit over to boxing super fight being canceled. Obviously, if you've been living under a rock, you know, unless you've been living under a rock, you know what happened. We got the news today that Triple G and Canelo is going to be canceled. It's unfortunate because boxing fans like myself, we want to watch this. We want to see this. I'm not a guy that knows everybody in boxing. I don't watch all the ESPN fights, but I'm here for the major fights. I'm that guy. You know what I mean? I love boxing from that standpoint. I can sit there and watch some of the guys that aren't as known. And when with a guy that's a boxing enthusiast, if I'm around and he's telling me, yo, watch out for this guy, watch out for this cat, I can watch it. I have no problem doing so. But this is a fight that we all wanted. I think the beauty of this fight as well was that we didn't have to wait 5 years for like we did for Pacquiao and Mayweather. You know, it took a little bit, a couple months of negotiations, the back and forth, the trash talking to the media, but guess what? It got done. The first fight, everybody was on the fence about as far as what happened and whether or not it was a draw or not. Canelo Alvarez withdrew from the fight. He tested positive twice for a banned substance. Clenbuterol. I'm sorry. I screwed these names up. Dang, I got a horrible... I can't pronounce anything, man. he failed two random drug tests conducted by the Voluntary Anti-Doping Association in his hometown of Guadalajara, Mexico, on the 17th of February and on the 20th. So there's a hearing with the Nevada State Athletic Commission on April 18th, and it's unlikely that it's going to be resolved by then. It's not enough time to promote the fight. You can't promote the fight. You're trying to fight the Nevada State Athletic Commission, so you're kind of done. So you kind of really had no choice at this point in time to go on and continue with the fight. It's unfortunate because it was one of those things we were looking forward to. It's just like, why not make it happen? We got it. And now this. You know, there's been a lot of accusations from Golovkin's camp talking about they saw some marks on Canelo's body and his abdomen. It's just crazy. So we don't know what's happening. We don't really know what's going on. We know that this happened because he said he was eating contaminated beef. You know, it's been a problem for many athletes because clenbuterol is often used by farmers and cattle. But Nevada Commission's like, look, you're responsible for what you put in and out your body, and it's not their fault. It's nobody's fault. Right now, from what I'm hearing, I'm sure everybody's heard the same thing. Possibly suspension is likely. It may be up to a year. On the flip side of that, this is his first offense, which means it nets a 1-year suspension. But if he cooperates with the commission properly, he does everything within the rules, it can be cut to 6 months and retroactive to February 17th when he first tested positive. So that's a positive. The date of the first that's a positive from that standpoint. You know, the date of the first positive test, and he'd be eligible. The date of the first positive test is the 17th, so he'd be eligible August 18th. That would allow for a rematch of Golovkin. You know, Golovkin, if he's scheduled, you know, to fight the fifth still. He still wants to fight, according to reports. We don't know who. But if they're able to get that fight going for August 18th, it'd be rescheduled to Mexican Independence Day weekend. So it's great. It's a great marketing tool as well. If it's a six-month period, I could see Golovkin fighting somebody, probably beating the hell out of somebody for a couple of rounds and an easy paycheck, and then focus towards August. Just depending on what happens with the Nevada State Athletic Commission and with VADA, the Voluntary Anti-Doping Association. We'll see how well that goes. So I'm looking forward to see what happens and if anything good is going to come out of it. It's just been a big mess. You know, Golden Boy, they know that they can't do it. You know, Oscar De La Hoya spoke up about his character. It's just one of those things where it's just like, man, we were so close, yet close but no cigar, because we know it's the big money fight here. Floyd's not fighting anymore. He's not coming out to fight anybody. And even if he did, he could probably beat somebody. Floyd is Floyd. He still got it. But it's like, why fight? You got a shitload of money. It's like, why even come back and bother with it, with anything? But you know, this is disappointing because there's a lot of people that were looking forward to it. Everybody was planning their fight parties. But again, I still think it's a glimmer of hope. You know, Golovkin hasn't announced an opponent. He hasn't said anything at all. We're hoping that they give him, they can cut it to 6 months, or we can get something in August, because that'd be great. It's a great time. You can get a big fight right before the fall, and we can go do what we have to do. So definitely looking forward to it. It sucks that, you know, he had to pull out the fight, but that's a part of the game. So it's strategic. I'm sure they've done this for a reason, and I'm sure the people on both parties, from both parties, are sitting in the back office somewhere saying, look, get him an opponent, get Golovkin an opponent where he can warm up. Canelo's going to keep training. He's going to keep doing what he does. I'm sure he's going to get tested extremely tough going forward, and he's going to probably oblige by everything, probably come up clean, and he's going to go for it. And hopefully we never have this again, and this fight can actually happen. So hopefully I can wait 6 more months. It'd been good to wait another month or so, but we know how that goes. But boxing needs this fight, man, because I don't know if Joshua and Deontay Wilder is even going to happen. You know, Joshua talks a good game, but is he actually going to get in there and fight him? So it's kind of like it's kind of a toss-up right now. But boxing needs this fight. Be great for the sport. Be great for the fans. They need to go ahead and make it happen and stop playing around. And they need to look, Nevada State Athletic Commission, if you're out there, do not do this. Do not screw this man over and try to give him a year-long suspension. Boxing's dependent on this damn fight. We need this fight. So suspend him for 6 months if you have to. Well, goddammit, just drop the case and all. You know, but that's unlikely. That's just me talking. That's wishful thinking. But I'd say give him a 6 month suspension. Canelo goes back to training camp, works hard, just trains like an animal for the time being. And Golovkin gets past this fight, rests his body, and starts training up for Canelo. And I'm telling you, man, that's going to be a hell of a fight whenever they do get in the ring. But definitely looking forward to it. Just unfortunate we got to wait a little bit longer. Well, that's it for today's episode. That's all I really have to talk about. And when I come back in a couple days, hopefully I have some more news as far as the NBA playoff situation and what's going on and who seeded where. It's almost over with. The season has a couple more games to go, and then it's time for playoff time, you know. And then actually we got a few things to look forward to. Actually, that HBO documentary is coming up next week, the Andre the Giant documentary. So if I'm not on before then, anybody that has this, make sure you check it out. I think it's August, April the 10th. HBO is doing that. Bill Simmons is behind it. And anybody remembers Bill Simmons and his time at ESPN? He was incredible. He did some great work. He's behind the 30 for 30 series. So all the reviews have been positive. Everybody who's seen it, who's got an advanced screening of it, they loved it. You know, they talked highly about it. And, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing it as well. And this weekend, we also have the Paterno movie, where Al Pacino portrays legendary Penn State coach Joe Paterno. Obviously, we know how that went with the Jerry Sandusky scandal. But hopefully this movie brings a little bit more to the table and tells us a little bit more that we didn't know. So that's it for now. I'm your boy, Jamon Bolton. You get a chance, head over to iTunes. Check out the Jamon Bolton Show in the podcast section. Hit subscribe. Appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for staying with me. Thank you. Have a good one, and I'm out.